You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
An IT security company based in Cape Town called Identify has come up with a very interesting thought piece around the dangers associated with business identity theft. Now, when we think about identity theft, the first thing that jumps to mind is someone stealing your ID, stealing your banking information, your personal information. But seldom do we think about it from a business perspective. And I imagine that has some different sets of implications. I'm joined on the line by the Chief Strategy Officer at Identify. That is Lance Fanaroff, to take a look at this and see if we can make sense of it. Good evening, Lance. Thanks so much for taking the time. What is business identity theft and how does that differ from personal identity theft?
Well, a business identity theft is actually just the business's customers and clients. So businesses put in solutions whereby they like biometrically authenticate the customers, like you look at the banking industry, that come into their systems essentially. So it's actually, it isn't really business identity theft, it's really the customers of businesses, whether it be telcos or banks, that steal identities or commit identity fraud and use that to commit malicious financial crimes against the respective companies.
Lance, we've seen these things happen. We've seen where hackers of late have gone in and perpetrated cyber attacks on large organizations, including banks, and have obtained client information and sensitive information that would ordinarily be protected by things like the POPI Act, but now are at, or the information is now being used for ransom purposes and for other malicious activities. What are some of the industries that are most affected by this from a business perspective? If there are any specific industries, or is it just down to a security thing to say it's a specific type of security hack and anyone that's got that kind of security infrastructure is susceptible?
Yeah, no, so I don't think it's a specific security hack. I think that whether it's via technology or it's via these consortiums or syndicates that actually target certain businesses and they look for weaknesses or vulnerabilities to get into those banks and or those telcos or those businesses, and how they do that is they target whether it's the respective businesses' employees or their customers, and via identity theft or identity fraud are able to sometimes penetrate into those banks or those telcos or those businesses. But I think financial institutions in general and businesses in general are becoming a lot more astute and investing, I think, a lot more. And it's a continual, obviously, cat and mouse game, but investing a lot more into preventing and protecting their clients' data from a POPI perspective. In fact, I'd say it's one of the most important things in institutions today to be able to protect the private data of their customers or their clients.
Speaking of protecting the private data of customers and clients, you put together quite a unique index, the first ever identity index that we've seen in South Africa. And I found it quite surprising that only, I think it was about 24.5% of those respondents that you had surveyed felt safe with their current security measures. Why is that?
Yes, I think it's such an ever-changing landscape, and I think that especially with AI and synthetic identity theft, where they're stealing real and fabricated identities to try and penetrate companies, it's a industry or it's a challenge for most companies today. So what we did, we partnered with Arthur Goldsack from Worldwide Works. And he did a survey of over 200 companies of all different levels to try and gauge where they were at from practice perspective, from a preparedness perspective, and from a concern perspective, and see where they're at from being able to protect their clients and themselves from identity theft and identity fraud.
Lance,
so it is something, yeah.
Sorry, Lance, when we look at identity fraud and identity theft, a lot of it comes down to identity verification and identity verification solutions. Now, I'm thinking about things like biometrics, passwords, anything that really authenticates that you are who you say you are. With the growing advancement in artificial intelligence, where I can now take a photo of myself, upload it into an AI software, and have it generate a video of me with audio of me that sounds like me, how on earth am I going to stay safe?
Yes, so it's a very good question, and that's why technologies today that do proof of liveness. So most important is proof of biometric liveness. So I want to, or the business wants to prove that firstly you're a live person, and while they're proving that you're a live person, they're taking a selfie of you, and then they're comparing that selfie to the selfie or the facial image biometrically to the Department of Home Affairs. So proof of biometric liveness is a critical step, because you're confirming that it's that person at that very time that's actually performing the transaction or trying to get into the system using their biometric identity. So proof of liveness is critical, especially in the digital world. And we've seen how the digital world, especially since COVID, is growing exponentially and isn't going to stop. And it's across all different levels.
Mm.
So ensuring someone's alive is obviously essential.
Yeah. Lance, is there a way to do this in a more convenient manner? I'm just playing a bit of devil's advocate here, thinking if I'm out with a bunch of friends, there's a low lighting kind of environment that I'm in, I now need to take a selfie to get into my banking app. And obviously, if I'm really pedantic about my security, it's something I'm willing to do. But it just seems like that is a method that at some point could become inconvenient. It is, of course, the most secure method, because only you really look like you, unless someone has a very good plastic surgeon out there. How do you streamline processes like this and make it more efficient, or maybe look at things like fingerprints that also monitor a heart rate to get a pulse, or is that kind of technology out there?
Yeah, sure. So I mean, what we do, for example, is we do proof of liveness, proof of biometric liveness. And what happens is it's a rays of different colored lights that reflect off an individual's face in a certain sequence, and each time that sequence changes. And so that process happens, and while we do that, we're taking a selfie of the individual. And this is all via their mobile phone, any mobile phone. So it doesn't matter if Android, iOS, whatever level of hardware device it is. And that whole process in terms of proof of liveness, taking the selfie and comparing it to a biometric hash on record is literally 2 seconds. I'm saying end to end. So in terms of being convenient for customers or clients or people wanting to protect their own identity, I mean, these days the technology is there, and I think what you're going to see happening is organizations are going to start replacing OTP with this proof of liveness biometric onboarding, because it's the only, I think it was the safest or the strongest form of authentication and verification. So I think you're going to see something like this on the rise in a very big way.
The world is ever changing, and so is technology, but I imagine so are the criminals. So we'll see how this all plays out. Hopefully we get ahead of it and we can implement these safety measures. Thanks so much, Lance, for the insights and for the time. Lance Fanaroff, who is the Chief Strategy Officer at Identify, joining us to take a look at the rise in artificial intelligence-based fraud and how to protect yourself.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.